Lord, I know there are those here this morning who are going through a really hard time. Lord, we don't know what that is or those individuals personally perhaps, but you do. And I pray they would know this morning, if they're believers, they're not alone. You've promised never to leave us or forsake us. We pray that we would protect that relationship. I think about the times that we do things wrong, we sin, and we hurt the fellowship that you have provided for us in Christ. We're reminded of what the Bible says, that if we confess our sins as Christians, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this morning, I just pray that anyone here this morning that may be separated in some ways, not necessarily from the family of God, but from the fellowship that comes with just knowing Christ because of disobedience, I pray they would repent and they would ask forgiveness. They would confess that sin to you, Lord, so that the space between would be very thin. Thank you again for the fact that, Lord, we are in your presence here this morning. There's nothing too hard for you. We do pray for those that are hurting, those that are struggling in their lives or their situations, or maybe somebody they love and care about is not doing well, Lord, and we pray for them. Our hearts yearn sometimes. It's sometimes so disconcerting. We have this amazing relationship and the peace that passes understanding, and yet we see others that we know and love that are not doing well. And we think if they would only know you, if they would only come to know Jesus and believe in Christ, if they would understand the grace and the mercy that's found only in Jesus. And so we just pray that you would help us to be a light in this dark world, that you would help us to not hold back the testimony of what you've done and what you are doing in us, the promises you have given us in your word. But Father, we also recognize the one thing, that if you don't intervene in those lives, they're not going to come to you. So we plead with you, Father. Have mercy upon these people. Reach out to them. Intercept them. Interdict them. You know, change their circumstances. Bring them to their knees. Make them look up, Lord. We believe that you're more than able to do that. You reached us. Many of us in here had no clue of you. We're not interested in you. And yet something happened in our lives. Something affected us to the point we began to look to you and ask for you, realize we needed your help. And so we came to you. We turn from our sin and we put our faith and trust and hope in Christ. And we just pray this morning for those that we love and care about, that you would please have mercy upon their souls. Father, you interrupted Paul on the road to Damascus. Interrupt our loved ones in the name of Jesus. We pray that you would shine the light down upon them, just like you did Paul, like you did us. That they would also say what Paul did. Lord, what will you have me to do? A testimony of surrender, a testimony of, Lord, I accept you. Lord, I belong to you. And so we just pray this morning for your great mercy. But Lord, those of us who are believers, we pray that you would help us to be men and women of prayer, that we would recognize that you are more than able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or even think, according to your riches and glory through Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please. Let me just put a plug in for the men's thing this coming Friday night. We would ask you to sign up. There'll be a couple of guys out by the table just to get your signature. We just need to know that. We have not done that really generally in the past. So, and you know how guys are. We're sort of reluctant to sign anything, you know. So, but guys, sign up. It's not going to kill you. But if you sign up, come, please. And bring somebody with you. Find somebody that doesn't know the Lord or whatever. I know Jason's topic this coming Friday night when he shares with us is going to be about leadership. We certainly need to be challenged to be leaders in our homes and families. And you can't be a leader if you don't know Christ, right? Well, I guess you can lead, but it's the wrong way. So if you need a Bible, don't have one, if you'll hold your hand up until Sway's back there, we'd love to give you a Bible to follow through. We're going to be in the 8th chapter. We're journeying through 2 Corinthians. Let me just mention in our study here, this is a completely different topic that we've been looking at. Paul has been basically defending his ministry in the first part of 2 Corinthians. This 8th chapter and the 9th chapter, he talks about giving because he's going to challenge the Corinthians. He's going to mention at the end of the study this morning, let this grace abound in you. And the grace he's speaking of is the idea of giving. And so let me just mention, if you're new or visiting with us, we hardly ever take up an offering at the church. People just give and God provides for us. We do that because we believe that God will provide for his work, and he always has and always does that. But we do believe giving is important. It's a part of our journey in the Lord. It's a part of our obedience to Christ. It's a part of the graces that we are to follow in the scriptures. And so in this passage, it talks about this for two chapters. Paul's going to refer to The Corinthians had made a promise to take up an offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem as well as others. But there's so many things in these two chapters that are important to us as we think about in our giving. And of course, he's talking primarily in our study of finances, but we give in so many ways. We give our time, we give our talents, we give our energy. On the 6th of August, we're having a community lunch at the end of the service on the 6th of August. The focus that Sunday is going to be about serving the Lord. And we want to challenge you and encourage you to be involved in you know, greeters, ushers, golf carts, teaching the children's ministry, or serving the children's ministry, the youth, or the worship team, or the sound, or the lighting, or all kinds of stuff in the church. But we encourage you to be a part of that. It's just part of our responsibilities as the body of Christ. But all of that is in ways that we give to the Lord. And so it's very important that you and I see ourselves as individuals that are always saying, Lord, what will you have me to do? Just like Paul did on the road to Damascus. And that part of that is giving. So in this chapter 8, Paul's going to start this journey in chapters 8 and 9. So we'll be in here a few weeks, just to let you know that. But if you're visiting, and you know, some churches, every Sunday you go, they're begging your money. You know, and so this is not a begging of money. We're looking to the Lord to provide for us. He always has. It doesn't mean we're not supposed to give. But just to let you know that. So look in chapter 8. We're going to look this morning in verses 1 through 7 of 2 Corinthians. Here's what he says. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So they're taking up this offering for other believers. Not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. And then notice the statement in verse 7. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. Interesting. So he's talking about this idea of sharing and giving. Let me just mention to you that he had already talked about this in 1 Corinthians. If you turn, first of all, in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, actually I have it on the screen, I believe. Yeah, there it is. Paul makes a statement in the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Here's what he says. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also on the first day of the week. And that was when the church met. Or it was Sunday. The Sabbath was on Saturday. And so the first day of the week was on our Sunday. That's when the church began to meet to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. So he makes a statement on the first day of the week, implying that giving should be on a regular basis. Or another way to say that, as we look at the end of our study this morning, we'll look at the fact that Paul's going to say, let this grace abound in you, just like the other graces. And what he's talking about here is giving. And so we think about that in light of the fact that we are to allow the grace of God to be moving us. Look what he says in verse 1. He talks about the Corinthians, or the church in the Macedonian area. He said, moreover, brethren, make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So he's talking about this whole idea of giving. Giving should be regular. You and I need to have the practice, just like prayer, reading the Bible. You know, every morning I get up, you know, and I started that after about a year of being saved. I started getting up every morning and spending time in the Word and in prayer. And this morning, I've been up, you know, this morning. And so my point in all that is we need to make sure that we're consistent and faithful to the Lord. Or another way to say that regarding this, and we'll see this morning that giving is a part of our regular devotion to Christ, it should be a regular thing. Just like our worship, just like our time in the Word, just like our fellowship. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, which is the manner of some. So you and I need to meet, we need to gather together in the same way. It needs to be a regular, consistent part of our lives. Now, what I'm going to talk about in our first section here, and you'll notice the words that Paul uses, is the passion of the Christians in Macedonia had when it came to giving. So it's all a matter of the heart. Or another way to say that is a heart that doesn't give, there's something wrong with the heart. It's almost like bitterness. If someone's got a bitter heart, there's something wrong with the heart, right? So often when you see individuals that have problems in their life, oftentimes it's a matter of their heart, a relationship with Christ. So I want to make sure that my heart is right with God, and He wants me to give. Give Him my time, give Him my life. I gave my heart to Him when I got saved. You know, why? Why do I do that? Why do you do that? Because He gave to us. He gave His life for us. That's why, again, as I mentioned in the ninth chapter of the book of Acts, when Paul comes to Christ, he says to Christ, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" The idea is I'm surrendered to you. I just want to follow you. I just want to be with you. What do you want me to do? Well, that is a matter of the heart. We are here to surrender our heart to the Lord and make sure that we're consistent. It's like following Christ. Another way to say that is, do you just follow Jesus on Sunday and that's it? Or do you just pray on a Sunday and that's it? Or do you just, in the same way that our giving should be on a consistent, faithful basis. And Paul makes a statement in this. He says, let each one of you lay aside something, storing up as he may prosper. In other words, as God provides, we give. As God provides, we give back to Him. It's very important that we all have that discipline of regular giving. And it can be a challenge to people. You know, I remember when, you know, when we, Don and I got out of college and we got married, and I remember thinking, wow, you know, Lord, I need to give to you on a regular basis. And basically my job, my work up to that point had been during the summer when I went to school. And so I went to school, I earned money this summer, and of course I didn't give because I wasn't saved until I got saved, and then I struggled with it some. But my point in that is we learn the discipline of regular giving. It's important. It's important for all of us. Another way to say that is, do you believe God wants you to give regularly? I mean, how do you say no to that? It's a matter of the heart. So irregular giving says there's something wrong with the heart. It's important to see that. Then look, if you will, in our study here in verses 1 and 2. I want you to notice these Paul is going to use the Macedonian believers as an example to the Corinthians. And he's going to talk about their passion, their heart in giving. Look what he says in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, and when he says moreover, he's changing the topic. So this is a completely different topic from the defense of the gospel and his ministry and the fact that God's comforting us and all this. Into verse 1, now there's a whole different topic. He says, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So in other words, consider these individuals. I hope that you in your personal journey with Jesus take time to allow God to use others in your life. And what do I mean by that? I mean, I'm reminded of the 11th chapter of Hebrews where it says these great cloud of witnesses. Brethren and sisters, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. What are these witnesses? The Old Testament individual saints. So we oftentimes think about other people, individuals that went before us, that gave us an example of what it meant to follow Jesus. You know, in my personal life when I accepted Christ, nobody really took me under my wing and discipled me. I never had anybody disciple me or spend a lot of time with them personally. I was very involved in what we were about at college with the Christian group. But in my life, what happened to me was I began to read the biographies of individuals that went before me. And I really feel like, matter of fact, if you ask me, I think that's where I got my discipleship from. I read about Spurgeon. I read about Whitfield. I read about Finney. I read about Fanny Crosby. I read about Hudson. I read about these people and their lives. And it was so exciting to me. It was like, wow, look what God has done and what God can do. And in some ways, it shows you not only what God did, but the struggles they had. They were very plain and honest. In the same way, Paul is using the Macedonian believers. It says, guys, I want you to consider the Macedonian Christians. And I want you to consider specifically and particularly when it relates to their giving. So Paul is using them as an example to the church of Corinth. It's very important to realize what Paul's doing, the argument that Paul gives. And he's in effect saying to you and I, wouldn't you like to be an example? Wouldn't you like for someone to say, as Paul did, be there for followers of me, even as I also am of Christ? So that we're sort of setting the example, we're blazing the trail, as it were. And I think in some ways Paul's encouraging or challenging the church of Corinth. Consider these believers in Macedonia. And he's ultimately saying, wow. The grace of God in an area of giving was abounding in their lives. It was an amazing testimony. I'm reminded of David, you know, when David decided, you know, David's passion was the temple of the Lord. You know, David hungered to be in the temple of God. And of course, God forbid David from building the temple, but God gave David the pattern of the temple. God gave him a vision of the temple. And David said, I prepared with all my might for the building of the temple. And he had dedicated so much of all that money and wealth that he had conquered from all those conquered people to the Lord. And he challenged the other people to give. You know, and what's amazing is they began to give towards this, and these leaders in Israel came and started giving. After it was all said and done, David went before the Lord. And I love what he said. As David sat before the Lord, and I love the picture. You know, there's a couple of times in the Bible we see David sitting before the Lord. I'm reminded when David said, I want to build you a house. And God comes back to David and says, that's nice of you, David, but I want to build you a house. And the Bible says, God said that to David, I want to build you a house. I'm going to raise up a descendant that's going to build the house of Israel. You know, the church, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. David sat before the Lord. So my point in all that, David sat before the Lord. When everybody had given, and what David said was, Lord, who are we that we would give like this? He recognized that the Lord had moved the hearts of the people and they had given. And it's like David was astonished. David understood in his own life, I've got a passion for Christ. That was his great driving force to build the temple. He had such a passion for that. And so my point in all that is that to see the same heart in other people was astonishing to David. And he knew that God was at work in their lives. That's why he's using the Macedonians. Just like today. Think about what we're doing. What are we doing? We're using the church of Macedonia today and thinking about them and studying what David's, or rather Paul's going to say about the church of Macedonia as an example of believers who are giving. It's an amazing think, you know, when you step back and you think about that, wow, God's still using these people in our lives today as we look at the church of Macedonia. That's what God is saying. Look also, if you will, they give in verse 2, he says this, that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. So it's not because of material abundance they gave. It doesn't mean it was how much a person has. You know, just whether a lot or little, it doesn't make any difference. It's one of those disciplines, one of those graces that we just follow Christ. And what Paul is saying there in verse 2, that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Doesn't it remind you of the book of Acts? When all of a sudden these people came to Christ, they are born again, and they're so excited. And they begin to sell their possessions, just give it away. Now, I don't personally, in my opinion, based on that passage, matter of fact, later on, we find out that the church, like the Corinthians, are sending to the poor saints in Jerusalem. It's very possible they give, you know, God wants us to give, but he also wants to manage what he's given us. That makes sense? God wants us to pay our bills. In other words, I don't want to give everything away and I can't pay my bills. I'm going, you know, anyway. But it's an amazing thing when he's describing the heart of these people. In their great trial of affliction, they had tremendous joy. What kind of joy did they have? They just wanted to give. They had this amazing joy of just wanting to serve, wanting to follow the Lord, wanting to give. So this is why this first section in our study of this 8th and 9th chapters is all about the heart. The condition of the heart, the attitude in which we give. You know, the Bible talks about the fact that God loves a cheerful giver. I think I have this on the screen. Yes. They gave joyfully. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. And this again is carrying the same thing. These two chapters are about giving. And verse 7, so let each one of us, as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. The Greek word means hilarious. It's hilarious, you know. But it's all about the condition of the heart. Or another way to say that is think about everything we do. How was your worship this morning? Were you worshiping from the heart? The Bible says God's a spirit. And they that worship him must worship it in spirit and truth. So it's not a matter of just coming and singing. It's a matter of true worship. Or when we read the Bible, when we study the word, what's the condition of our heart? The Bible says we're to receive the word with all meekness. So we have to have this meekness or this, I want to be teachable. I want to be moldable. I want God to speak to me. So the condition of the heart is so vital in every spiritual endeavor that we have, including giving. It's very important, the heart. And so they had this conviction. It was a personal conviction that God wants us to give. Or another way to say that is, do you have a personal conviction that you should give? Just like you should pray. Just like you should read the Bible. Just like you should attend church. Is that a conviction that you have? It's not a matter of how much I have. It's a matter of, does God want me to? What is God's will in my life, in a way? So it's, they gave joyfully to that. And that's what the Bible says. I also want to point out they gave sacrificially. They were under a lot of duress. He says in verse 2, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. You know, sometimes people think, well, you know, it's a matter of how much. It's not a matter of how much you give. Remember the time Jesus was standing there in the temple and he saw this rich man coming in and dumping a lot of money in? And this poor widow came in there and she gave two mites. And then Jesus told his disciples, do you see what happened just then? He says, this man gave out of his abundance, but she out of her poverty. She's given more than he has. Why? Because it's out of her need that she's given. I'm reminded sort of the example of Elijah when he came to this poor widow's house. There was a drought going on and they were fixing to starve. Remember the story? And she had this little bit of meal left, and that's all she had. And so Elijah comes and says, what's going on? Well, me and my son, and we're going to get a little bit of sticks and make a little fire. We're going to take this little meal and make a little bit of food, and we're going to eat it and die. What did Elijah say? Elijah said, look, I'm a prophet of the Lord. Just give this to me. She had a little bit of oil, too. And she said, God will provide us. So obviously the Lord's working in that situation. So this poor widow, she just took what little she had and she shared it. And then what happened? Elijah said about that oil. Remember, she said, I want you to go and just get, you know, God's going to allow that meal and that oil never to leave. And so it was always there throughout the drought. It never emptied. God provided. Didn't Jesus say, seek first the kingdom of God? Take no thought for your life, what you eat or drink, or what you put on. Isn't life more than meat or food and clothing? And then he said, after all these things, the heathen, the Gentiles seek after. But seek first the kingdom of God and his right, and God will take care of the rest. You believe that? It's very important to realize that. So they gave sacrificially. And then I want to finally say in this passage, the Bible clearly teaches us that giving is important. You know, it's important that we realize, we talk so much about the fact that, as we've already looked at 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Paul said, what do you have that you didn't receive? All we have, we received. You know, we have this body that God gave us. We have the ability to work and to make a living. We have a building to meet in. We've got air conditioning in a very hot summer, at least right now. And so God provided all that for us. What am I saying? What do we have that we didn't receive? All we have, we receive from God. Here's my point. God tells us in the scriptures that we are not owners of anything, we're stewards. We are to manage what belongs to God. So my life is his. We talk about dedicating children. We dedicate children to the Lord. What is that about? It's about saying, basically, these children that we're dedicating belong to the Lord. God gave them to us as a family, this child or these children. And we see ourselves as stewards. We're just managing these children. We're training up a child in the way they should go. We're doing the best we can to influence them with Christ and to pray for them and to serve them, minister them and help them and train them and teach them and discipline them. Why? Because we are stewards. Well, in the same way, our money, we have the stewardship of our money. We're to manage what God gave us. It's not ours. My wife was doing something the other day and I just made the statement, Donna, our money's the Lord's. Belongs to the Lord. I mean, it depends on how you view things. Or do you look at your time as your time and you dedicate Sundays, you know, Sunday morning to the Lord and that's it, the rest is your time? Sometimes people look that way. And yet we believe that all of our time belongs to the Lord, whether we're here on Sunday morning or tomorrow night or whatever, it's all the Lord's. And the same thing's true. We need to have this conviction, a conviction that God wants me to give. God wants me to give consistently, cheerfully. God wants me to be a good steward of what he's provided for me. And part of that is managing that. Part of that is giving. That's very important, the discipline we have. Then look in verses 3 and 4. We need to give from the heart. He says in verse 3, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, he says they were freely willing. They were freely willing. They had no problem giving and serving and wanting to give. Even in spite of the fact they were under tremendous duress and they were under tremendous poverty, they still gave. God blessed them because they gave willingly. It was from the heart. See, all these statements that Paul's making is about the condition of the heart. Or another way to say that is, in the next two chapters, chapters 8 and 9, is about giving. Why do you think the Holy Spirit in His wisdom dealt with the heart the first section? I think the heart, you know, keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. I think the heart's important. Or another way to say that is, sometimes there's a greed or covetousness or stingy, or, well, I gave God that, the rest is mine. And some people look at it like that, but that's not what the Bible teaches. It's all the Lord's. Again, what do you have that you didn't receive? Everything you have, you've received from God. Even your natural abilities. You may work out and train those or exercise, whatever it may be, you know, but God gave you the basic body that God gave you. So that's the point I want to make regarding finances. We need to make sure that giving is from the heart. We need to give willfully and do it as God wants us to. I want to also encourage you to realize Paul makes a statement here about the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Look what he says here in verse 4. Imploring us with much urgency that we receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So there's a connection that I have with other believers. Or another way to say that is this. Let's suppose you don't give for a moment. I mean, I'm sure you do, but let's suppose you don't. What if everybody else did what you did? I mean, where would we meet? We wouldn't have a building. We wouldn't have the AC on or whatever it may be. You know, I mentioned last year when they had the hurricane hit down there in Florida, we were able to give $45,000 to that ministry down there. It was, 60 or 70% of what happened or the money that came in there. It was exciting. Samaritan's first brought it in there. But it's because of faithful givers. It's because people gave. And it provides a fellowship. It connects. In other words, this money that the Macedonians are giving or the Corinthians are giving is going to help people. And in the same way as they gave, it's able to go to the poor saints in Jerusalem. And it connects people. It bonds people together. They're able to serve other people. In the same way, there's been times perhaps in your life where someone's come and given or helped you out. You know, there's so many different ways of giving. I know last year, I got a bee allergy, and you all know that. I keep talking about it. But my neighbor is always like, if you got any problems. So I went down there, you know, in my barn, and there was a wall I have where I park my tractor, and there was a yellow jacket stream coming out. So I know one little pop, and, you know, it's really dangerous. So I called my neighbor, Buddy. I said, Buddy, I've got a yellow jacket nest in one of a wall that I've built here for by my barn. So he came down, and he's a believer. But my point is, that meant so much to me that he would come over there. Matter of fact, when he came, he had his bee suit on. And he nuked them, you know. I was like, yes, get them all. But I'm saying it connects people together. You know, we have so much that we, you know, I think about just the blessing of if Sunday mornings when Ben is providing all that food downstairs. And what a ministry he has of serving that and doing all that and the church helping him financially to buy that food. And it connects people. There's a fellowship involved. You know, it's important. This is the men's Friday night thing this coming Friday night. The church is going to provide the sides. All I'm saying is it connects. So it's a matter of the heart, seeing the bigger picture. And it's not a matter of how much you give. It's a matter of the heart. It's almost like Paul's taking the temperature of the heart, saying, what's your heart condition? Do you have a conviction? Do you believe it's God's will that you give? What should you give? Is it just your time? Is it just volunteering for a thing? Or is it God wants you to give in every area of your life? I think every area we need to realize that God wants us to give. Then also, let me ask you to look in verses 5 through 7. Giving is God's will very clearly in this passage. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. Now, it's interesting Paul saying that. Now, as we came to them and we just wanted to, you know, minister this gift, and Paul said we wanted them just to say, yeah, we'll do whatever you want. But no, they first gave themselves to the Lord. He says, verse 5, not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Very important. Here's my point on that. We need to be under the will of God. What is God's will? What is God saying to us? What is the Holy Spirit communicating to us? What is God's will for my life, your life? our lives as a church. And so we're not here just to do what we want. And Paul is saying that about the church of Macedonia. They first gave themselves to the Lord. And then God directed them, look, Macedonian believers, I want you to take up an offering and give it to Paul. Paul's going to distribute that. And he's going to talk about the importance of accountability later on in our study through these two chapters. But God was moving them. God was stirring their heart. So my point is that we need to be led by the Spirit. God's got a plan. God's got a will. God's got a purpose. God's working in our lives. What is God saying to us? Or another way to say that is this. What is God saying to you in this passage? What is the Holy Spirit communicating in these first seven verses about giving? As Paul is sort of putting the Macedonian church and believers up there as an example of just passionate giving, of a heart. They had such a heart to give. They wanted to help, even though they were under tremendous distress and poverty. Because of all the trials that were going, they still insisted. And they gave themselves to us, not as we hoped, not like, whatever you want us to do, we'll do it. No, they first sought the Lord. Lord, what is your plan? What is your will? What do you want us to do? And God told them, God directed them, look, Paul's endeavoring in a good thing there. And then they did that by the will of God. You see my point? God's got a plan. And let me just say this. I think all of our finances need to be under God's control. I mean, there's a problem with covetousness and greed, and it's just sad to me sometimes when people just don't let the Holy Spirit guide and direct. And there's so many areas, there's so many things in my mind to talk about regarding finances, but I guess the whole thing is your heart right with God when it comes to giving? Or in finances in general? Money's just a tool. It's not a matter of how much you have. It's what you do if you do have. It's how you manage it. God's promised to provide our needs according to his riches and glory. It's just a matter of managing it and being disciplined and self-controlled. And I think living on a budget and being disciplined and getting out of debt. Debt's a killer. Debt's a restrictor of all that. Debt just strangles people out. That's why we paid the building off. That's why we got out of debt as a church. That's why I challenge you as an individual to be out of debt. It just frees people up. It frees them from the concern. My challenge again is this whole idea of it's God's will. God wants us to see what we have as belonging to him and we manage it. And so Paul is saying the church of Macedonia was led by the Spirit, moved by the Spirit. They prayed and sought God and God told them. You know, sometimes people don't pray. I mean, I say that only because, well, we pray in certain areas, but we sort of neglect other areas because we know what God's going to say. We don't want to hear it. You know, Lord, do you want me to witness? Yes. Tell people about Jesus. What we ought to be saying is, Lord, I'm going to go witness unless you tell me not to. You know, it's like the guy that was, you know, the neighbor on the road. Remember the guy was in a ditch and hurt? And the religious leader came by and wouldn't help him because he was a Pharisee and a religious leader, and this was a Samaritan. Or actually, it was a Samaritan that came by that helped, right? But my point in all that, we need to have the attitude, we just want to help if God's leading us. We have this desire. It's about the heart. The heart says, I want to do this. Will you let me? The bad heart says, I didn't want to pray about it because I'm afraid you'll say you need me to do it. And that's what I'm talking about in this passage. So God wants us to give. God's grace enables us to give. Look again at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. What is Paul saying here? The only reason the church of Macedonia gave was because of the grace of God. The Holy Spirit moved them. What is grace? Grace is God giving to me what I don't have. Grace is God moving my heart. Grace is God giving me the desire to do what he wants. The only way we follow Christ is by the grace of God. God enables us to. God empowers us to. God gives us that passion for it. Well, Paul is connecting giving to the grace of God. He points out that in verse 1. He's saying it was the grace of God. What Paul is saying there, I saw these Macedonian believers, but here's the deal. It wasn't the Macedonian believers. It was God. Isn't that what David saw when David sat before the Lord? He saw God. He saw God at work. He saw, wow, look at these people giving. Look at the generosity. Look at the sacrificial giving. And look at their hearts. And David sat before the Lord and was blown away by that. When Moses told the people as they came out of Egypt to bring the stuff for the tabernacle, the colored cloths and all the other things and the gold and silver, I mean, he finally says, stop. You're giving too. Can you imagine coming out and saying, y'all stop giving. You're giving too much. That's what Moses did. What am I saying? God, for God so loved the world, he what? He gave. God by nature gives. God by nature shares. God, what does Jesus say to his disciples? That verse we said so often. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you what? The kingdom. Wow. Who are we that God would give us the kingdom? That we would be called heirs and joint heirs of Jesus. All he has belongs to us. You see my point? God by nature is a giving God. He loves to give. Given it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. God will give to you. That's important that you and I give and we realize that. That doesn't mean we're going to be rich. It doesn't mean we're going to, you know, but God will give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. There's a joy in that. These Macedonian believers were filled with joy while they're able to give, even in the midst of their trial. Or another way to say that it is, I believe the joy was the fact that God was moving and the Macedonians knew it. They said, look what God's doing among us. God's stirring our hearts to give. And so they gave. And then look also in verse 7 in closing. This is sort of the culmination of this first section. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, you know, as you're preaching and you're teaching and your words. I reminded of 1 Corinthians where he talked about the gifts of the Spirit in speech, in knowledge. Your knowledge is abounding. You're growing in your understanding of God, who God is, what God wants, what his word says. Then he says, in all diligence, you're growing in this diligence. You're being more and more diligent. Remember when Titus came back from after Paul sent the first letter, Paul was so excited. Titus was so excited because he saw God at work in the Corinthian church. And then in your love for us is abounding. You are, but as you abound in everything, in love. Then he says also, see that you abound in this grace also. What is this grace he's speaking of here? Giving. Giving is the grace of God. Or another way to say that is this. Do you believe you should abound in faith? Should your faith be strong and grow? Should you abound in the love of God? Should you abound in giving? Paul is connecting all these things together. We should just be people that give as God leads us. Now, I'll say this. What you have doesn't belong to you. And that's a conviction. I mean, you may not look at it that way, but I believe that we should have that conviction that all I have belongs to the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God can do whatever he wants to with it. That's why if we know it's God's and if he removes it, well, that's up to him. We need to have a light hold on everything and anything we have because it can be gone in a second, right? The Bible talks about fleeting, that money's fleeting. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after have erred from the truth and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So don't love money. Don't try to hoard money. Save it. You know, make sure it's not this, my pursuit is to be wealthy. Don't pursue wealth. Pursue faithfulness. Pursue managing your money. Pursue being diligent. Pursue just, or you know, being a faithful steward. And if you do that, then God will bless and God will provide. And your money more likely will grow. You know? But that's the whole idea is it's the discipline of it all. It's the heart. Why do you do what you do? Why do you, you know, what's your heart condition of your heart? Do you have a conviction that it's God's will, it's God's plan, that's what God wants? Another way to say that is this, if you're not giving. You know, that song we sang earlier about the space between. Remember that song about the space in between is thin? What that means is that Jesus removed the distance between God and us. He's the mediator. He died on the cross to reconcile us. But I think about disobedience and how disobedience provides space. The Bible says to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it's sin. Or if I know that God wants me to give and I don't, then it's sin. And what happens, it separates. There's this space in between. Doesn't mean you're not a child of God. I shared before, I believe one of the signs of true conversion is the desire to give. Well, we see that in the book of Acts. When these guys got saved, they're just giving everything away. You know, it's like, wow, we got eternal life, we're going to heaven. Let's just give it, you know. I think they got overzealous. Well, first of all, we need to see all we have belongs to God anyway. But I'm saying that in light of, it shows us the work of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be a believer? God so affects the heart that I just want to give. I want to give my life to Him. I want to give my heart to Him. I want to give my time to Him. I want to give my money to Him. I want to give my family to Him. I want to give my minute. I want to give it all to Him. It belongs to Him anyway. And I want to see myself as a steward, as a servant of the Lord, following Christ, doing what He wants. You know, in the church, and we put the budget out, and we've talked about that a while back. We have a budget. We believe it's important that our budget is less than what we bring in. We think it's important that we manage that, that we keep our expenses as low as we can, not to be cheap or stingy, but we don't want to waste anything. We want to look at everything. Why? Because we're stewards. It's not our money. It's God's money. We don't have a right to do what we want to with it. I'm just saying that in light of the heart. The heart's so important. So what is the condition of your heart when it comes to giving? Do you have a conviction that it's God's will that you give? What is a conviction? A conviction is a deep-rooted belief. I believe it's God's plan and God's purpose that I give. The same way that God gives. My God shall supply all of your needs. God will provide all of your needs. You cannot give God. Sometimes when we give, it not necessarily means He's going to pour money into our coffers, but God will always bless us. God's going to provide for us. He's going to make sure that we're taken care of. That's important to know that. So let me challenge you this morning. If your heart's not right, why not this morning come to the place where you realize if you look at these, there's going to be two chapters. We're going to go through this. That it's God's will that you begin to give, that you step out and trust the Lord. Years ago when we were establishing our benevolence ministry, we called Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And we asked their opinion. Look, we want to establish a benevolence ministry to help needy people in our fellowship from time to time that have needs. How do you guys do that? And then I forget getting on the line with the pastor. And he said, Pastor Mark, he says, in all the years, everybody that comes for need in our church, they always have a form. They fill out every one of them, or we won't help them at all. But one of the questions is, do you faithfully give? He says, we literally helped thousands of people over the years, but there's never been a single time that someone has turned in a sheet saying, I regularly give, who's come to us for help. Think about that. You can't outgive God. God is faithful. God says in Malachi, prove me, test me, and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour a blessing upon you. Let's pray. Leah, can the worship team please come up? Father, we want to come to you this morning and just pray for our hearts. Father, the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In this first section, as Paul begins this study, these two chapters about giving, I believe his whole focus is he's showing the heart of the Macedonian believers to the Corinthian believers. And specifically as it relates to giving. And he's just like, wow, this is the kind of heart God wants us to have. To be filled with joy. Not stingy or greedy. Not giving out of obligation. Not some legalistic law. Not dragging over to the offering box saying, I've got to give. But out of a joy. Out of a sense of, God, you've blessed so much. And it's all yours anyway. And so I pray this morning that you would help us to be a giving people. And I can say, honestly, as a church, we do have a very generous fellowship. But I also know there are others who don't give. Not that I know who gives and who doesn't. I don't. But I do pray that you would help hearts, that you would help hearts come to you and be softened before you and come with the conviction that as we look at the teaching of the Bible, Old and New Testament, it is the will of God that we be regular, consistent givers. That we need to manage our funds. Jesus talked more about money than anything else. He used that as an example. Because the way that a man or a woman handles their finances tells a lot about that person and their spiritual condition. And that's why, as the Holy Spirit breathed through the Apostle Paul to write this second epistle to the Corinthian church, he deals first of all with the heart. And he sets before the Corinthians the heart of the Macedonians. And he ends up this section by saying, let this grace, let this grace abound in you also. Just like the grace of faith, the grace of he already mentioned that, the idea of the love of God, all these graces, and yet we want to also let this grace abound in us, that we are a generous people, that we have a light touch on the material things in this world, that we don't want to worship. The Bible talks about covetousness, which is idolatry. We don't want to have any idols in our heart where we covet, where we're a slave to money, or we're pursuing after. We need to pursue you. Put our heart on things above where Christ sits. You'll take care of the rest. But we live and walk by faith. So I just pray this morning for the heart, the condition of the heart, the convictions of this fellowship, what we believe about money, what we believe about prayer, what we believe about the Word, the place of the Word in our lives. And if the Word is to be have a prominent place in our lives as a church and as individuals, what about this particular section of the Word? When it comes to the condition of the heart, when it comes to giving, Lord, we pray that the Word of God would be empowered this morning to touch our hearts and to soften our hearts. May we be joyful in giving. May we be free in giving. May we desire to give. May we have the heart of God in full in that particular area of our journey with Christ. And we'll give you praise for it because you are the Lord that's given us all things richly to enjoy, the Bible says. And we thank you for that. We are blessed beyond any people on the planet and throughout history. We have more than anybody's ever had. And yet, unfortunately, to some, it's never enough. And I pray that we would be, as the Bible says, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And so we give you praise for the grace you've given us to abound in giving. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.